to accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Vaffanculo.
Yeah, we're in the middle of it.
History is made. And now, the event.
I think you should be permitted. Thank you. Do you have
this is Jim Fetzer welcoming you to a special triple feature version of the event. We have three guests today. Giuseppe Vaffanculo of the Wisdom Circle is here. And I, of course, from the Raw Deal. Two of our guests are from the USA, Diane King and Jim Rizzoli. The third, a Canadian, Monica Schaefer, who together with her brother, Alfred, was prosecuted in Germany, all involved in the alleged offense of Holocaust denial. Having done plenty of research on the Holocaust, I can guarantee you their denials were well-founded. This is not only substantially evidenced, as you can find from two of my reports, one entitled The Holocaust Narrative, Politics Trumps Truth, on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, but also in the same location, if you go to the 65 shows from jimtheconspiracyguy.com, which are now on my blog, scroll down to the official narrative of World War II, and you'll see a mountain of evidence that substantiates that the Holocaust was a myth, a fabrication, for political purposes, that it has no historical, scientific, or objective foundation. Because we have Diane and Jim here right off the bat, and I'm delighted that Monica, whom I've interviewed before, is also with us now. Diane, let me begin with you. Well, Jim, Diane, go ahead. Jim, how'd you get involved in all this? How'd you get in trouble?
Well, I don't know what she's doing. What is she doing? Hold on. Okay. Did you want to talk to Diane first? Or?
Diane, before you vacated your chair, I was inviting you to comment on how you got into trouble. So please go forward. Tell us.
Okay. Didn't really get in trouble at first. It's mostly as a fact-finding. And if you're talking about how I got into Holocaust denial, I think all my life I was denying things that were opposing the Germans. I was kind of a Germanophile. Not so much now. Now it's more specifically dealing with the Third Reich. But it was in the 1990s when I began to realize that the media had a mad on for any and everything Germany came out in all. I mean, they were still promoting hate literature against the Third Reich. And I thought, when is this going to be over? Again, we're talking about 1995. And U.S. News and World Report, Hitler's horrors of Hitler's Germany, that sort of thing, and which I still have all those as kind of reference. And I kept, and then the internet became more available to me. And eventually, long story short, found the Zundel site. Or Ernst and Zundel, but was created by Ingrid Rimland at the time, became Ingrid Rimland Zundel. And that is where I had my home. And that's where I began to really learn about what the Holocaust and the whole issue. And it was one of those things, I was right. I was right. Germany was not guilty of what they were accused. And it became an extremely passionate journey from about 1999 to the present, and meeting various people like, oh, Guillermo Rudolph, you know, the Biggs and the revisionist movement, thanks to Paul Fromm, because he had access to people like that. So, and it wasn't until 2015 that I met Jim Rizzoli, a videographer, and he gave me some skills, and that's what got me into trouble, was the skill of video production.
Well, tell us a bit more, Diane. This was a series of video productions you did discussing the end of World War II and the fact that the evidence contradicted the official narrative of the Holocaust. Is that what led to some kind of score? What was the reaction, and who came after you?
Well, interestingly, my story is preceded by Jim Rizzoli's story, in that he was... he and his brother were key players in their town of Framingham at the time of town. And they had cable shows that they put on four a week. And it was the ADL started, and he was actually basically dealing with the issue of immigration, illegal immigration. And then he talked about the Holocaust on discovering what happened with Ernst Sundel. And so once he hit the Holocaust issue, they started coming after him. Okay, they marginalized and disenfranchised him from all four of the shows. The next year, by 2014, they were virtually history. I may have this wrong, Jim can correct me. By 2015, when I met Jim, it occurred to me, because of all the trouble that they had had, I said, well, I'm a newbie. They don't know me from Eve. So why don't I try to get shows on? So we got shows like, I couldn't have any shows that had Jim Rizzoli or Joe Rizzoli in them. They were so, like I said, marginalized in their town that even their voices weren't allowed to be heard. So I was able to get on the myth of German villainy, eventually the greatest story never told, Hellstorm. And Jim says all the things that they have been trying to promote and we're promoting that were removed. Well, I'm coming in great guns. And so I was able to, I'm managing two of them, but actually I'm managing all four. One is under this other gentleman's name, two are under mine. But they come on every week. It's just that now they're coming on at 1 a.m. Okay, in addition to that, it took 9 months to do this, got on the cable show in the town next door, which was Ashland. And I was with them for 3 years. And finally, they decided, because I had been interviewing Jim, who was now persona non grata on YouTube, that they didn't want me on their show anymore. And they had an attorney communicate with me, and we were going to actually contest this. But that week, the Supreme Court decided cable shows don't have to honor the First Amendment, you know, freedom of speech. And so we didn't have a leg to stand on, and I knew that I couldn't come back on Ashland. But I'm still up on Framingham, have been now going on 7 years.
Well, it's so outrageous that the First Amendment isn't applied across the board. I think right. Trump's lawsuit against the social media, focusing on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, is going to have tremendous ramifications, because in exercising censorship, they have become agents of the state, and therefore are obligated to adhere to the First Amendment. And I believe Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act is going to be revised so that they're no longer immune from liability. They have transformed their function from that of a library, where everyone's responsible for the content of their own books, and the library is merely making them available to that of a publisher by censoring, editorializing, and excluding, picking and choosing what can be seen. Jim, tell us about how you got involved in research on World War II, the Holocaust. Give us your thoughts.
Well, pretty much I got involved through the Zundel site also. That was probably my first, seeing what revisionism was about by looking at Zundel. But I got through Zundel actually through the back door through immigration. believe it or not. Okay, I had really no interest in any of this until, I mean, I was very much involved with immigration issues in my town at the time. And then I found out that this individual named Ernst Zundel was being deported, a white guy was being deported. And I just couldn't understand why, you know, in my town, we have hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants and nothing's happening to them. And here's this white guy in Tennessee being deported to Canada. I'm saying, how can this happen? A white guy being deported to Canada for immigration issues. And then I look into the situation and I come to find out that it was really a cover up. He was a revisionist and he was being deported because of his revisionist views and, you know, his conspiracy views there that they looked at. And then that just got me more deeper into his site and his information there.
Well, Ernst Zundel was a great Canadian, a man of tremendous integrity and courage. He was prosecuted by the government twice, actually, two different, as I recall, 1984, 1988. During the first trial, the most notable aspect was the prosecution was unable to produce a single witness who could swear under oath, having seen anyone put to death in a gas chamber. The second was perhaps even more astonishing for the Fred Lochter report, where he was the leading expert in the United States on gas chambers, who was flown to Germany to inspect the facilities there and came back with an extensive report that nothing at any of the camps could possibly have served the function of gas chambers. Ernst Zundel, I interviewed. His wife thought it was the best interview he'd ever given. I was a huge fan, Jim. And all of those essays, you know, essays about the Zundel trials by Robert Forresson, for example, mm-hmm. one of the leading revisionist historians, can be found in my book. And I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which Amazon obligingly banned at the request of the ADL, asking Amazon to ban any book that contested the official narrative of the Holocaust. You'll find sensational essays right there. Those alone are worth the price of the purchase. Let me turn to Monica Schaefer, whom I have also interviewed and admire beyond words, where she and her brother Alfred have been prosecuted in Germany, of all places. Monica, it's wonderful to see you again. They must have been extraordinary. You were actually living in Germany at the time, as I recall, unlike Ernst. Oh, were you also extradited to Germany?
No, neither. I wasn't living in Germany. I was visiting. I went over for a 1 month Christmas and New Year's time trip in 2017. I was supposed to come back January 15th, 2018. And instead, they had other plans. Like, we went to attend Sylvia Stoltz's speech trial on January 3rd, and they spotted me in the public gallery there. I didn't know that there was a file on me or that I was in any danger. I know some people afterwards think, oh, I was so naive to think that, but I think they were asking all the wrong questions. Mm-hmm. You know, when they say, oh, gee, why did you go to Germany? Well, as if it was my fault that I went to jail because I dared to go to Germany. I think they asked the wrong questions when they were saying those things. I think they should have been asking what kind of a system would, make it so that you couldn't speak or question history. And then, there you are in another country. And you know, there was a lot of misunderstanding too about where I made that video, the video called Sorry Mama, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. That was from 2016. And I was at that time also visiting my brother in Germany. And Alfred, he is living, has been living in Germany for several decades now. And as you just mentioned, well, maybe, I'm not sure if you mentioned it or not, but he is still in jail now as we speak. So anyway, that's kind of the roundabout way. But I'm glad that you have been talking about Ernst Zundel so much, because when I started to wake up about the Holocaust story, the fable, the myth, yes, the religion of Holocaustianity, first of all, it was after I woke up about 9/11. That was kind of my entry into opening my eyes. You know, that was the key for me. Then I went down the proverbial rabbit hole and started to figure out that lying was not invented on September 11th, 2001. And they've been lying to us about a lot of other things. And so, but once I did dare, and really I say that with purpose, to once I dared to look into the Holocaust story, because it took me a while, honestly, like people were sort of nudging me in that direction, saying, no, this is all a, you know, false. And I didn't dare look because it was so ingrained in me that this all happened. And it was kind of scary to even look into that. But then, okay, once I dared look into it, the first video I watched about that was the one about Ernst Zundel called Off Your Knees, Germany, mm-hmm. followed by 3 exclamation marks. And that was like the 90-minute video that told the story about the persecution of Ernst Zundel and Ingrid Rimland. Zundel was featured prominently in that video, and all about those trials in 1985 and 1988, and Fred Leuchter, and he was featured in that video. This was a very, very important video, and I would encourage people to look for that online. I'm sure you can still find it, even though they tried it. I know you can still find it. I found it just the other day, just to see that it was still there, called Off Your Knees, Germany. So that was a starting point for me, and I just couldn't stop looking then. I had to dig and dig and dig, and I really did. You know, I don't just say, oh, okay, somebody said such and such and this or that happened or didn't happen, and then, oh, okay, thanks, I'll go with that. No, I just have to really check and check the sources and check the information and really dig before I can take something that was so deeply ingrained and just be satisfied to my own self. Yeah, they've been lying to us big time. And also so that I can defend the conclusions now that I have reached, the new conclusions, like based upon this evidence. Because, you know, so many times I was accused of just, well, I don't know, when I went through my ritual defamation period, I call that another chapter of my life, because I lived in a very small town for 37 years. And I was a prominent community member, you could say. I was known for all kinds of things, environmental activism and being on boards, culture and recreation, and playing my violin everywhere. So I was kind of a well-known community member and respected. And suddenly I became this thing that they put this label on, this Holocaust denier, which, by the way, I love how you, Jim, start your videos, Holocaust denier extraordinaire and proud of it. That's really good. Yeah, we have to take those labels and turn it around and take the wind out of their sails and be proud of these things, because, yeah, this is. But once that happened to me in Jasper, that little town that I lived in, 5,000 people approximately, the population, they had to swiftly take me down, or try to anyway, so that I learned all about ritual defamation. But anyway, people would say things, bizarre things like, oh, you're so rigid. Well, no, wait a minute. I'm not the one who's rigid. You're rigid. I'm the one who was able to open.
Monica, you've made so many wonderful points, of course, about history. How can we not debate history, lest it become, as Voltaire observed, a pack of lies that the living play upon the dead? I have a legal question. Were you being tried or prosecuted in Germany for offenses you'd committed in Germany, or was it for things you'd done in Canada prior to coming to Germany? Because that seemed to me a significant legal distinction. Mm-hmm. Could you expand on those couple points?
Yes, thank you for that, because there was a lot of confusion about that, because people knew I was a Canadian citizen, and of course they were rightfully outraged that the German government was holding me there in prison. And like I mentioned, in 2016, in June of 2016, I did make a trip to Germany to visit my brother and visit other relatives and whatnot. I've got many, many relatives in Germany. That's where my parents came from. They immigrated to Canada in the early 1950s. I was born in Canada, born and raised in Canada, but we still had strong connections to the motherland, or the fatherland, Vaterland. Anyway, so I went over, and like I say, Alfred has been living there for decades, and we're very close. We're the only ones in the family who kind of went down the road of once we started figuring things out, we went down that road. The other family members, oh no, they are so resistant to it. In fact, they're at the other extreme, let me tell you. But anyway, so I was on a trip visiting him, and I had told him about half a year earlier on the telephone. I said, you know, we were talking about this myth of the Holocaust and whatnot. And I just said to him in passing, I said, geez, I wish I could apologize to Mom for the in German, it's a word, Vorwurf, reprimands, like I was really bitter when I was a teenager, learning all these things in school about shrunken heads and soap and lampshades and whatnot, and learning about those evil Germans and Hitler and whatnot. And I had really been bitter about it, and said to my mother at that time, I said, why didn't you stop those things from happening? You could have organized with your friends and relatives and family members. You should have stopped all that from happening. And she just looked at me and quietly said, Monica, we didn't know. We didn't know. And she was telling the truth. They didn't know. And so in that video, it's a 6-minute video, super short, but I explained all that. And then I said, now I know why she didn't know. Because these things...
Yeah, she didn't know because it wasn't taking place. I mean, it's just outrageous. I think anyone who has pondered the matter realizes that Israeli or Jewish political clout and influence is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. So they must conceal that it's a fake, a fabrication, a hoax at all costs, lest they lose that role of being the world's prime victims, a role they play over and over and over again endlessly while they work their malevolent deeds upon other nations, currently the United States, where Klaus Schwab, it turns out, is not only himself a Rothschild, but all the members of the Biden administration involved in the COVID business are also Jewish. This is a plot I have for the first time realized really is an implementation of the Rothschild plan to control the entire planet Earth. Now, Giuseppe's been very patient here, but I know he has questions for all three of you. Giuseppe, my friend, take the floor.
Well, first of all, it's an honor to have such a trio of real heroes. I mean, Jim, all three, Monica, Diane, and Jim Rizzoli are not shy about championing the truth. And that's what is so bizarre to me. And actually, you know, the Holocaust lies set up the COVID lies. I mean, much the way the average normie believes the Holocaust is similar to how the average normie believes COVID-19 and is lining up to take the death jab. But before we get into that whole thing, I'd like to ask Monica, how is Alfred doing? Have you communicated with him recently?
That's good. Oh, thank you so much for asking about Alfred, because I definitely wanted to talk about Alfred during this show. He actually... Under the circumstances, like I'll tell you, he's been in solitary confinement since December 3rd. And it is not because he's going around clubbing other people or wrecking the place by, you know, throwing chairs and tables. No, it's not for anything like that. Guess what it's for? It's because he insists on getting some air through his nose and lowering his mask and being defiant about it. He's not pulling any punches. He's not pretending to go along with this. And no, he's being defiant about the mask and refusing to, not to muzzle himself when he just needs to breathe. He says, look, I'm an old man. I need to breathe. Anyway, so he's been in solitary confinement since December 3rd, but he writes letters that are absolutely so spirited. And he understands so clearly what's at stake, what's going on. And basically, he's like a soldier at the very front lines. And a soldier at the front lines cannot cower or feel sorry for himself or be timid or scared. So he is absolutely fearless. And he writes his letters. Sometimes he'll add a P.S. at the end of, you know, just whatever he's commentating about. Is it P.S.? We're winning. Because he just feels that this COVID thing, like you were saying, Giuseppe, I mean, it's like the hollow hoax lies that people just go along with it. However, I think it is a little bit different. There are millions, if not billions, of people who are waking up because of this, the absolute enormity of this and the chutzpah of it, and it's just in our faces, the lies about it. It actually is kind of polarizing people, because those who do believe in it, I don't know, they're identifying themselves now by continuing to wear masks, where it really, like in British Columbia, where I live, as of July 1st, you didn't have to wear a mask. Not that, you know, many of us did anyway, but that's when they officially lifted those mandates. And yet there's still people wearing masks. So I look at those people and I say, oh, those are the ones that are the walking dead. They are not going to be my friend, or I cannot count on them to help, you know, that we cannot be sort of a unit of people that when things really get bad, you know, we need to have a network of people around us. Well, those I don't want in my network of people around me, those who are still wearing masks like zombies. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but Alfred, I do have some stories I could tell, but I don't want to dominate the discussion here. Like just the absolute arbitrary barbarity of what's going on, yeah, with what they're doing to him. Like the consulate, he is still a Canadian citizen. He does have German and Canadian citizenship, dual citizenship. So the Canadian consulate has the obligation and the right to, he has a right to a visit from the consulate twice a year, as did I when I was there. And so now it's taking place by telephone because of COVID. Okay, so we had a visit, telephone visit in February, and Alfred, there's only one other person in the room that Alfred is in, and that is a guard behind a plexiglass shield with a mask on. And by the way, these are supposed to be treated like a visit with a lawyer. It's supposed to be privacy, complete privacy. There's not even supposed to be anybody listening in. But anyway, that's what they had. And the guard yells at Alfred to put his mask up, but he's on the phone. And Alfred doesn't put his mask up because he's on the phone and he wants to be understood. And before he can even answer the first question from the consulate, like, how are you doing? How is your health? They cut the call off because he refuses to put the mask on, and they drag him out. Now, just think about that. The bizarre, it's just arbitrary. It's meant to break him down. So far, I haven't heard that COVID gets transmitted by telephone. Let alone, I mean, you know, I don't think it exists, but even if it did, you know, this is on the phone. It's just so arbitrary. And I would encourage people to read the story about what happened on December 3rd. It's on my website and at freespeechmonica.com. And you can read about what actually went down on December 3rd. And since then, he's been in solitary confinement. It really was, it's quite a gripping story. You kind of go on the edge of your seat reading it, because, you know, they did do sort of a physical violent takedown such that they sent a doctor in afterwards to see if he was okay and had any broken bones, but he didn't, and he told the doctor to go away. But anyway, he's in terrific spirits, and terrific spirits as much as can be. He projects that in his letters, and that is really wonderful. Sometimes he's cheering us up, I have to say. Mm-hmm.
Well, one quick thing is, I just received a Skype message. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who does the phenomenal ACH show, says hello to all three of you and wishes you well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Very nice, Giuseppe. Very nice. Of course, alas, David Scorpio is unable to join us for a host of reasons that are all very, very good ones, but I know he'd be delighted were he to be with us here today. Diane, let's return to what have been the ramifications, and how have you been received by your friends and relatives, persons you would have thought would stand by you? Have you become persona non grata?
Well, as a result of the way my kids were raised, we were raised in a they were raised in a cult. They have a lot of them in Texas in the churches. And so they were ingrained with the mandatory decency that you extend to a parent, an errant parent. I divorced, or their dad divorced me in 2000, and rightly so. And I've maintained a relationship with the kids ever since then, and the grandkids and so on, and tried to help them wherever I could. And made peace and, you know, asked forgiveness for my parts and so on. But what's interesting is when I discovered the Zundel site and found the IHR.org located 66 answers and questions of the Holocaust and started reading them, my oldest child was with me when we were going through this. And so of the five of the kids, she is the one most, because she's also understand about the Illuminati and the one world government, how the, she may not completely understand about the Third Reich, but it, how it does play into the censorship aspect of it. And the fact that I'm involved in it, she gives me certain honors. Not only that, but when I was visiting this last time and I was talking to my oldest grandchild, her son, in addition to a friend of hers who found Europa, and as a result of that, when I was visiting there, her friend came and visited with me as well, and so put her on our email list, and she, I think, has completed Europa. There are 10 segments in Europa, and that's no small feat. She's got four kids, and so as a result, my oldest child was a real advocate for me in relationship to helping to explain certain things to her son, my grandson. Okay, other than that, it hasn't been all rosy. Mostly the approach of the immediate family that are not in support. I have one uncle that is, but the rest of them, some of the cousins have boycotted and blocked me on Facebook, and in spite of but not all of them. And the sister of one of the cousins that did that could not understand, actually, it's a niece, could not understand why she had done that. And she feels in the same way, we have a right to our own opinion. Evidently, there are people who Monica might term as the mask wearers. These are also the ones that have the masks over their eyes and dealing with the Holocaust, will not allow people like me to have my opinion if it differs from theirs. And that's where the dividing line is. And that's where the government is moving to, in particularly Florida and Texas as well. They think, oh yeah, they seem to handle conditionally the COVID issue. But when it comes to the Holocaust, in fact, there's now a law, and DeSantis is absolutely adamant in Florida. There's no, absolutely no Holocaust denial to be taught in the schools.
Well, if I read it right, it's becoming an act of anti-Semitism to challenge the coronavirus narrative and the role of the vaccines. And if you examine who's involved in this, actually, it explains why. I recall way back when I was challenging the Sandy Hook narrative and published a book, but I'd already given any number of interviews and videos about it. And I received an email saying, accusing me of being anti-Semitic in relation to my denial that Sandy Hook had been other than a FEMA drill where no kids had died. And I wrote back and said, why do you suggest it's anti-Semitic? What turns out in the second edition, we actually have a chapter about the role of individuals in this hoax who are Jewish. And I got to say, I think, again, we're being played again and again, the Jews, the Israelis, really, I don't mean to be so broadly as to be all-encompassing. I've had many great friends in my life. My closest friend in college, for example, happened to be Jewish. A lifelong friend from Lexington, where I first taught, my first academic position was Jewish. She was a dear friend and others. But it appears that, you know, this whole issue has become so broad that we have the tyrannical opposition to anyone raising any questions about Israel, its role in the world, even though they are the foremost practitioners of false flag events in the world, and where it's obvious that the Holocaust narrative was designed to give them political clout, where even on Amy Goodman, a former minister of education from Israel, acknowledged very candidly that when Israel is attacked in Europe, they bring up the Holocaust. In the United States, they bring up anti-Semitism. It's to club anyone would question Israel, even in spite of its nonstop slaughter of the Palestinians, where we all know for Israel, the final solution is to load all the Palestinians aboard a ship, voted out to sea, and sink it. Outrageous. Jim, what personal ramification would your family and friends have you incurred?
Well, I'm not in jail yet, but No, I mean, I don't have much family. So, I mean, it's just myself, my brother, and my sister. She has nothing to do with us, but it has nothing to do with this. So I really can't say the family is anything. But in regards to friends, what happens with this topic is, if you really want to find out who your friends are, talk about the Holocaust, then you'll either have friends or you won't. And I probably can count, you know, maybe on my hand, how many people I associate with up here, maybe on one hand. I mean, if that, okay. I mean, basically, it's just myself, Diane, my brother Joe, Fred Lucher, and that's it. I mean, we don't associate with anybody else, because who are you going to associate? I have no interest in associating with knuckleheads, okay? And I'm gonna sit, you know, and go somewhere and talk to somebody about this topic and have them just become enraged or go crazy. I'm not going to put up with it. So I don't choose to do it. I just deal with my videos and I deal with doing stuff on the internet. I don't really have much interaction with people at all, and I don't miss it, believe me.
Giuseppe, I know you have further thoughts, questions, and comments. Proceed.
Well, I'd like to ask all four of this excellent roundtable today. It appears to me that what we have going on between both the Holocaust belief and worship and the COVID vaccination belief and worship is it transcends facts and reality, becomes a pseudo religious cult. Why is it, and like to get all four of your thoughts, why is it that people are so willing to join this pseudo religious cult?
Diane first.
Okay. First of all, we've been dumbed down in the same way that Germany has been ground into the ground, you know, kind of pressed into a submission for 75 years. We have also, one additional obstacle in that somehow, and I was part of this too, our country is supposed to have been divinely appointed and run and erected and built up and so on. So the assumption is that everybody in place politically, in the media, they're always going to tell the truth because they're always about what's best for us. The best liberation is to realize they do not care about you. You're merely a pawn. You're basically cannon fodder in the military and whatever fodder and other venues. They don't want, if you want to work for them for slave wages, as we probably have been, and just give them all the obeisance and worship, as you say, and at our expense, that they can do no wrong, and we cannot question them. That's where they want us to be. That's why the Holocaust was so effective, because now it's becoming punishable in 41 countries to question, even to ask questions, even to discuss. One of my kids had married a guy who went into the military. And they're in Germany. And one of the first things she said to me is, Mom, they are really serious about not talking about the Holocaust or World War II around here. She just arrived. And what is that, their orientation they get? And these are military people with the U.S. Do they not have freedom of speech? If you do, you probably shouldn't exercise it in the Euro nations. And so it's absolutely essential that we cannot question. We must obey. And the mask is a picture of compliance, the vaccine more so. And so we are become socially shamed. They're trying to socially condemn us right now. We, tens of millions who refuse to take the vaccine, largely in the red states, largely Trump supporters, former Trump supporters. And so now they've got an area, if you don't comply with this, and yet we have so much information of how damaging it is, but facts don't matter. In fact, you can't present the facts. Like you can't, truth is no defense in Canada or Germany or the other 41 countries. Well, truth is no defense in dealing with COVID because you can be censored on Facebook, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, your thoughts about all this?
Well, what we're dealing with is a cult mentality on this topic, okay? Everything in life revolves around a cult mentality. Okay, you can have a job. It can be around a cult mentality of whoever's running that business. They want you to do things a certain way. If you don't do it a certain way, you're going to be ostracized. Okay, so now we're dealing with a topic that is specifically Jewish. Okay, mm-hmm. The Holocaust is a Jewish cult topic. So if you don't go along with the, you know, the way it's presented, then you're obviously going to be ostracized too. So what's happened is they've very nicely after, you know, during World War II, and then after, they developed a really nice way of getting their narrative presented, to the world, which is, you know, the complete Hollywood version of life. And they presented all the lies. Everything is presented to everybody. Here's the way it went down. The victors write the history. Here's the story. And then they deprogrammed the people in Germany. Okay. So now the people that were there got deprogrammed for what really happened to them. So now they're brought up with this fake news mentality of what happened. And so now that goes through time. Okay. That was, you know, let's say that was, would have been like kind of my generation when I would have been born a little bit after, 10 years after. And so now everybody has this viewpoint that's been passed on by the victors that are, you know, the Jewish victors that are presenting a narrative that they want to present, because this narrative is going to be very beneficial to them later, because now they're going to be able to use this narrative to use it as a boot on everybody else's neck. Because mm-hmm. if you don't agree with them, then they're going to come against you, like the Palestinians or whoever else. Or I even like the term Holocaust denial. Let's think about that term. You know, some people might say, yeah, you really shouldn't use that term. You should say you're a Holocaust truther. And I say, what do you mean a Holocaust truther? What's a Holocaust truther? I mean, I deny their version of it. I mean, what do you want me to say? I deny what they present. What you're saying is not true at all. Mm-hmm. So I deny it. Now, if you want to hear the truth, the real true version of it, I'll tell you the true version of it. And so that's what we try to present. But it's tough because you're dealing with a cult mentality. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fit in with that, that's the end of it. You're dead. Okay.
Yeah, as Voltaire is attributed having said, to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Yeah. I think we're seeing on all sides. We know now who we're ruled over by Monica. Monica, give us further thoughts of yours.
Yeah, first of all, I'll follow up on something that Diane talked about that we're not even allowed to debate or question. And I can tell you with 100% firsthand proof of that, because one of the charges against both Alfred and myself in our trial was for our participation in the 3.5-minute video by CODO, that's the Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust, mm-hmm. and they had put out the question, why do you support open debate on the Holocaust? And so we sent in our little clips, and they edited together a nice little 3.5-minute video. And we're simply answering, why do we support open debate? We're not mm-hmm. even talking about what happened or didn't happen in World mm-hmm. War II. We're just saying why we should be able to discuss it. And this was a crime. Mm-hmm. It's in the charges. They were giving us jail time for that. Just to say, and one of the participants was a history professor from the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Anthony Hall. And he, as a history professor, really emphasized we should be able to discuss all topics.
Yeah, Tony Hall's a good guy, and he's done a lot of shows with Kevin Barrett, who's a dear friend of mine as well, on their False Flag Weekly News. I mentioned before how much this whole COVID thing looks as though it's a Jewish undertaking. I've been learning more about it virtually on a daily basis. Yesterday, I received the following. This is a report from Elias Truman. Just listen to this. CDC Director Rochelle P. Walensky is a Jew. CDC Deputy Director Annie Suchet is a Jew. CDC Chief of Staff Sherry A. Berger is a Jew. CDC Chief Medical Officer Michael Wolf is a Jew. CDC Director Washington Office Jeff Resek is a Jew. COVID Czar Jeff Zients is a Jew. COVID Senior Advisor Andy Slavitt is a Jew. HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra is a Jew. HHS Assistant Secretary Rachel Levine is a Jew, and also a man who feigns to be a woman. Pfizer CEO is a Jew. Moderna's vaccine was created by a Jew. Johnson & Johnson CEO is a Jew. Teva is an Israeli pharmaceutical company with a Jewish CEO. Regeneron Pharma CEO is a Jew. AstraZeneca CEO was to take over as CEO of Israel's Teva Pharmaceuticals, which means he's a Jew. But go ahead and take that vaccine, you stupid goy. I mean, yeah, it's just right. Astonishing what's going on here. This really is an effort to wipe out white America, mm-hmm. And many don't understand that the Jews take a dim view of white Americans. That Bibi Netanyahu in 2020 made the statement that America is the golden calf. Mm-hmm. We're going to chalk it up and suck it dry and leave nothing but a monster welfare state to die in the vine, because that's what we do with nations we hate. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to understand the attitude of the Talmudic Zionist Jews who believe that Jews are superior to all other human beings who only exist to serve the Jews. And where they are as superior to the other human races as the human races generally are to the animals in the field. This is no joke. This is no conspiracy theory. Anyone who does the research will find these are the grim facts of the matter. Israel is not our friend. They use us over and over. 9/11 was a perfect illustration. Orchestrating a false flag, blaming it on Arabs and Palestinians as though they would have had anything to do with it, in order to draw the U.S. into the Middle East to use our military to take out the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance, Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. It didn't quite play out that way because of the intervention of Russia and Iran at the request of the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, where many Americans to this day think we're in Syria to bring Syria democracy when Syria is already a democracy. Their unrelenting assault against Iran continues. I'm convinced they wanted Trump out and Biden in because they knew they could get away with a lot of mischief in the world under a weak Biden that they could not get away with under a strong Trump. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I'm astounded that the United States has a new voting bloc known as the Evangelical Christian Zionist. And anyone who thinks that, believes the lies, rather, of the Schofield edits to the Bible 110 years ago are absolutely really at about a three-year-old mentality. And yet you look at it everywhere, and the chosen people. I mean, there's such a stunning level of mind control going on. I mean, it's beyond propaganda now, and I'd like to get everyone's thoughts on this. It's out and out gaslighting. I mean, you hear people talk, you know, oh, you're an anti-Semite. I mean, people who should be an anti-Semite are now have Stockholm syndrome and are absolutely championing their enemy, and yet now they worship their enemy. I mean, it's just beyond insane. It's like we're beyond Orwellian. It's like we have a combination of Orwell's 1984 and Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass. It's Orwell Through the Looking Glass right now. It's just madness.
I'd just like to add, in response to a couple comments from the chat room, Donald Trump, for all his flaws, did a great deal of good for the United States, among which was shutting down the southern border, among which was making America oil independent. We became an exporter instead of an importer, calling out the fake news media. And while you may or may not agree with what he did about the vax, I have questions of my own and certain moves he made in relation to Israel. Donald Trump did a tremendous amount of good for this nation. Joe Biden, who's actually just a puppet, doesn't even appear to be the real Joe, but an actor who's just reading scripts, but whose deterioration appears to be completely parallel, totally incompetent, embarrassment to the nation, has allowed a whole lot of things to go on, including this massive influx of migrants into the United States. And for all their waxing about coronavirus and the vax, they're not even bothering to test. They're not giving them any injections. It's all totally fraudulent. They're trying to change the demographics of the United States, and they're getting away with it on a massive scale. Monica, your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to add something about the, we're being lied to on a massive scale. We know that. And the Jews, that's kind of the connect the dots with all these things that are going on. You know, the wars, that they are the bankers, they are in control of things. And they're the CEOs of the so-called vaccine companies, all these pharmaceutical companies and whatnot. So they're doing this to us, but it's worse than that. So not only do they falsely blaming their victims for all the things that they are doing to us. So that goes right across the board, every event. So the Holocaust, let's take that one. So the German people in particular, but all of us have learned all about the Holocaust and how the evil Germans did this to the Jews. Well, not only is that a pack of lies, but it gets worse than that, mm-hmm. in that the Jews did it to the Germans. The Germans were Holocausted. They not mm-hmm. only in the cities that were firebombed, but after the war, millions of Germans were starved, killed, tortured, you know, expelled, and just all the things that were done to the Germans. And who knows about that? So the Germans themselves are not even allowed to know about that, let alone they get blamed for being the perpetrator of these evil crimes that they never committed. So it is a double whammy. And the same thing with COVID is going on. They are doing something to us. They want to kill a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing? They're blaming us. Those who are resisting, we're the ones who are endangering everybody else. Mm-hmm. When we refuse the vaccination, we're making the lives of everybody, we're putting everybody else at risk. And then they also tap into our natural good qualities of empathy and trust. Like we do have in the white race in particular, that you can generalize. Of course, there's always, you know, the broad spectrum amongst all peoples, but you can make some generalization about the different mm-hmm. races. And one of the things that we do have is a high trust, and we have high empathy. These qualities serve us very well when we are living in homogeneous groups amongst mm-hmm. ourselves. When we are infiltrated by this enemy that is a chameleon who dresses like us and pretends to be us, who hide their identity, and many, 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 many Jews do this, crypto Jews, they pretend not to be Jewish, and they, you know, they are our enemy. So then they use these very nice qualities against us. And our empathy, I mean, I just picked this little thing up in the mail yesterday. We can all help, and it's all about getting the vaccine. And then one of the points is that more people getting vaccinated means fewer people getting sick. And so they tap into that. Like, if you get vaccinated, you're doing your community a big favor. And so all of these things that they do to us, they are guilty of, or they blame us for. Same thing with climate change, global warming. They're going to blame us for driving too many cars and farting, cow farts and burps, and our farts and burps. They're going to blame us, and they want to do away. Well, now they're getting people to destroy their crops in the name of saving the climate. And guess what? They are doing it to us. They are manipulating the weather with the chemtrails above, yeah, and they're using a HAARP energy weapons, geoengineering. And mm-hmm. when they finally have to admit that they're doing geoengineering, it's to save the planet. Meanwhile, they are manipulating the weather, all these floods, droughts, fires, mm-hmm. one. Yes, mm-hmm. I realize those things happen naturally too, but not to the extent that
that's right
now. And we know they're doing it to us. We just have to look. We just have to look up into the sky and see. But they blame us. So not only do they do these things, then they blame us for the very thing that that is happening, right?
Spot on, Monica. We are going to open the phone line, so anyone would like to call in. If you're in the chat room, put a question in the chat box, and I'll pick it up from there. The 540-352-4452, Mitchell will field your call, get you on with Diane, Jim, Monica, Giuseppe, and me. Again, the number 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, would you like to add a few thoughts before we hit the break?
Well, I think that we should advocate all listeners and viewers to proudly fart to fight the globalist Zionist hegemony. I mean, but the point is so well made that the lunacy of trying to claim that greenhouse gases, when their lies are proven by their actions. So when they did that lockdown, within a month, the earth began cleaning itself up and the canals in Venice were clear, and it took nothing. So that just shows that the actual impact of man on the earth is minimal. It's kind of like it's like eczema. It can go away quickly because the earth is so vast and such an integrated system. And it's just insane that, again, the religious cult pseudo-scientific mumbo-jumbo that the average person who no longer possesses the ability to critically think just goes along with it. Oh, man, I'm going to wear this mask, and which is detrimental to the health. And, again, getting the COVID thing, the COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, was a bioweapon. There are hundreds of millions of dollars.
Unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on RevolutionRadio.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer from The Royal Deal with Giuseppe Vaffangulo from the Wisdom Circle, where we're featuring three spectacular guests today, Diane King, Monica Schaefer, and Jim Rizzoli. Before we take our first caller, I'd like to mention an MIT study looked at those who were resistant or hesitant about taking the vaccine. You might assume they're naive and ignorant, but it turns out that they are highly informed, scientifically literate, and sophisticated, that they're aware of the same data. In fact, I frankly believe most of those willing to take the vax are unaware. For example, there were 45,000 deaths within 3 days of taking the jab that the CDC has suppressed. But we're confronting a decision-making matrix. The state of nature, either the pandemic is real or the pandemic is fake, and the vax is either good for you or it's bad. Now, if you assume the vax is good for you, then you're simply confronting a decision of whether or not to save yourself if the COVID is real or to subject yourself to a relatively minor inconvenience if the COVID is fake. But if the vaccine is bad, for which there's overwhelming evidence, then even if the COVID is real, you're running the risk of doing serious harm or death to yourself. And similarly, even if it's fake, the vaccine being bad, harm or death. So it's very reasonable, indeed rational, whether the vax is real or fake, whether the COVID is real or fake, given the vax is bad, for which I submit there's overwhelming evidence, you're avoiding harm or death to yourself by avoiding it. Don't take the vax. Terrible, terrible idea. But many, many, many who are you know, believing in the government. They think the CDC is there to help them. They can't believe there could be such a monstrous scam or falling in line. And that, alas, includes many members of my own family. Mm-hmm. I'm very troubled by what is to come. This is a very bad situation. The world has never confronted such a monstrous hoax. There was a time when I thought the moon landing was the greatest hoax. But 9/11 superseded the moon landing by many orders of magnitude. And now we have the coronavirus, the greatest scam in history, yep. where Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci is going to go down as the greatest mass murderer of all time, where the deaths for which he will be responsible are going to exceed those of all our foreign enemies, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito, by many, many orders of magnitude. We have a first caller on the line, Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Wow, what an honored panel you have. Like I mentioned before, I've been in the military, but I believe the courage that these people have displayed is far beyond just, you know, your average soldier may even contemplate doing. I just wanted to bring this to y'all's attention and see if you want to comment on it. Yesterday, a swastika was found carved in an elevator in the U.S. State Department in the vicinity of the Office of Anti-Semitism, whatever the heck they call it. It's the story is in Russia Today.
Well, just ridiculous, Bruce. I mean, this is just made up.
Of course it is.
The Zionists do these. They perform these acts so they can make them into newsworthy. down in Buenos Aires, because Argentina had cooperated with Iran in the peaceful development of nuclear energy, they first blew up their own embassy, blaming it on Iran, but it only killed, 24 people, didn't get enough news. So they blew up their Jewish community center with about 84 deaths. This was all a Israeli operation. The explosions were from the inside out. There's no question about what happened. They really, frankly, don't care about the lives of their own people.
That's right.
If they can promote the Zionist agenda, it is stunning. Monica, did you want to add?
Yeah. The first thought that jumped into my mind, a Jew did it. They do it all the time. They paint on the gravestones and then they say, oh, anti-Semitism. They need anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Somebody else will probably be able to quote the exact person who said that we need anti-Semitism, whatever. You know. We need it to move forward with our agenda.
Yes, yes. Bruce, did you want to add further? I think everyone here appreciated your acknowledgement of the courage of these individuals, which in many ways does exceed the courage of soldiers in combat. I agree with you about that. I think that's an excellent point.
Okay, yeah, thank you. One more thought, and I'm going to have to hang up. I can't hold on any longer. What do you think about the HIV connection? Because I remember back when it was coming out, and maybe in the 90s after it had peaked, that there was rumors that it was actually an accidental virus creation or intentional. And I started hearing that even more, that it was essentially a bioweapon that was made by DARPA, whatever. And it's just coincidental that Fauci is involved in all of this.
Right. Just
right.
And I'll take the answer off the air.
David Zellico had photographs of the early Fauci and the current Fauci. They are not the same. There appear to be two different Faucis. The earlier had a much more prominent nose, different shape of skull, totally different ears than Tony the Rat as we know him today. Wow. Now, I believe both of them may have been scoundrels, although earlier I thought perhaps the earlier incarnation of Fauci had been a halfway decent guy. But they appear to have been involved in manufacturing the HIV scandal. I'm not sure how far historically back it goes back, but they're using a lot of body doubles these ways and manufactured, fabricated hate crimes has become part and parcel of the DNC political agenda. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I can tell you on my show, The Perfect Triangle, Dr. Judy Mikovits described how working at Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is a bioweapon development facility, for decades. They were working on the AIDS virus, and they had aerosolized it. And so it's absolutely been a weapon. All of this is always bioweapon development that just so happens to be released because it drives the Zionist communist agenda, the globalist agenda, the communitarian agenda, if you'd like to use that more modern term, to control the world. And mm-hmm. so the they have no problem. They want a significant decrease in the population. We know that from the Georgia Guidestones, from all the hidden hand writings, the Illuminati writings, what have you. And so, but they also want to make a profit. And so the bubble that's involved in the vaccination scam is just absurd. And what's going to happen is they're going to make Amazon, which is now the world's largest company, look like a corner store the next 5 years if they pull this off. The vaccine scam is going to be so insanely vulgarly profitable, it's going to literally make Amazon look like a corner store.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, Diane.
I wanted to say something, and then I was hoping, Jim, because we sent you some messages here. I made a comment about the hypocrisy and elitism of the political oppressors that started from the very beginning. They had, it's got to be a lockdown, and Newsom was caught with 12 other people in a close proximity in a dinner, and that was just one of them. One politician wasn't supposed to be traveling, went down to the Bahamas or something, and then another one. Then, of course, there's this recent outrage of the runaway AWOL Texas of representatives that were not wearing masks, and they're special. They have private jets. They're special. They don't have to wear masks. They aren't treated. We, the peons in peasant class and on these other planes, have to, but not the politicians. And then they show up somewhat in their own language, infecting people because six of them were tested positive for COVID. Not to mention that the people who have vaccinated are now, they're having what's called breakthrough infections. And those numbers are being ascribed to people who haven't been vaccinated. So they're going to lie about the statistics again.
Well, yes, yes, yes. And of course, the number of cases using the PCR can be varied to generate a vast number of false positives that are counted as though they were true, or at a lower rate to reduce the number. So they can manufacture whether things are going better or worse. It's outrageous. Jim, I know you have a comment you'd like to add.
Well, I got a lot of things I'd like to say. First of all, you've been hearing a lot of these health people talk about viruses. And I've watched a lot of them, okay? And here's my conclusion. You can agree with me or not. There's no virus of anything. AIDS? Nope. No virus of AIDS either. Okay. When you talk about AIDS virus, that's all AIDS was a group of men who abused drugs and their body reacted to it in this way that they developed what they considered and called AIDS. AIDS, there's no AIDS. Okay, just understand, there's no viruses, okay? This applies to all things. There's no viruses. The only person I believe is, I believe her name is Amanda Vollmer. Amanda Vollmer. And the first thing she says when you have a conversation with her is, there are no viruses. And this all comes down to the germ theory thing, okay? And all this virus, your body has viruses in it to fight all the crap that comes into your body. The virus is actually your body's mechanism to fight all the negativity that comes in through the air, the food, whatever, chemicals, whatever. And that's how your body reacts to it. When they take these tests, that's all this test is doing is finding out what that is. They're seeing that test. I mean, that virus in your body that's reacting to whatever is happening. Your body's doing what it's supposed to be doing. Again, I don't want to make it look like I have all the answers here. But they want you to think, oh, the government's making bioweapons and the government's doing this and the government. You can't make a virus. Yeah, you have to understand that. They proved this in 1918, okay, with the Spanish flu. Okay, when the people got when the military men got the Spanish flu, they tried to take that out of them and inject it into other people. They couldn't get it, okay, because viruses from your body can't go into someone else's body. Now, this is what I came up to on my investigation and listening to all these people. When you listen to Mikovits and all these other people that talk about viruses, I think they're full of crap, okay? Because they're coming from a medical end of something. I don't buy it. There's no medical end here. There's no viruses, okay? And, this is just like the Holocaust. You got to get straight from the beginning, and then you're going to understand how everything fits in after. They have what they have done with everybody. They have sold you a bill of goods from the beginning about viruses, okay, germ theory, and all what this is. And now everybody believes, oh, it comes from a bat. It comes from this. It comes from that. It comes from you. You got AIDS. You got, you got this or that. Look at polio and all this and that. I mean, this is, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? They changed the names of them later. The polio now is meningitis. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand what the medical profession has done. They create something, okay, out of nothing so they can make an antidote out of nothing. This is what they've done. And they've sold. Now, all these medical people, I think they're stupid. I'll be honest with you. They're stupid people because I listen to them and they go along with the stupidity of the viruses. Anybody, any medical profession out there that talks about a virus and where it came from, don't listen to them.
Well, Jim, strong opinion. I'm inclined to believe the pandemic is a fraud, but that doesn't mean that there are no viruses. Certainly, this has never been isolated.
There's no viruses. Show me a virus.
You can't. I understand that's your opinion, and you're not alone in holding it, Jim. I'm giving a more qualified stance, which is mine, okay? I believe that the successor to germ theories was the discovery of viruses, bacteria, and fungi, that this has been typical in the history of science. We have a prototype theory, and it's refined, and we get revisions and so forth. And there are those who are inclined to believe, I know at the very least, with regard to the coronavirus, that it's actually an exome that's being identified as a virus, not a bona fide virus. But I want to defer to Giuseppe, who's far more expert in this area than am I. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, Jim, show me a virus.
Jim Rizzoli, there's billions of viruses in you. I think what you mean to say is that there's no virus that causes disease. I mean, there's three fundamental building blocks of life: viruses, fungi, and bacteria. And as a higher life form, we've the Borg, we've assimilated them and we use them as a very useful tool to be a higher level life form on this planet. And I had Amanda Vollmer on my show, and she's excellent, and you're right to trust her. But the one question I have is I totally agree that the mainstream, the know-it-all, know-nothings of virology and immunology, who have taken literally blocks of intellectual shit and built these great temples that we know better, but they're know-it-all, know-nothings. There is never been a vaccine that's safe, never been a vaccine that is effective. Vaccines make people sick. And I think that I really respect Amanda Vollmer. The reason she's trained as a naturopath, probably don't know, my midlife career changed as I went back to college. I became a doctor of oriental medicine, and I have a master's of science in oriental medicine, a bachelor's of science in nutrition. And where I went to college, they insisted that you, for every Eastern medicine class you take, you have to take a Western medicine so you understand what they're doing and saying and translate for the patients. And I differ with Amanda that I believe there is some type of contagion that occurs. The contagion occurs in chickenpox and many other things. And I think that the whole homosexual plague was a lot of unprotected sex, and there was some type of contagion, but it certainly wasn't AIDS. And like you said, the whole HIV thing is just a scam. And
they just blamed it on the gays. That's all.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
We have a caller standing by who I think of all Revolution Radio listeners is probably as enthusiastic about today's shows as anyone could be. Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
It's like you're a mind reader, because I was actually just going to say that this is a very enjoyable, robust back and forth, which I find is one of the reasons I like to tune in for a show such as this. There's a couple of things I wanted to make mention of. One, I'm going to highly recommend to all of you here to go online on YouTube and watch The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price from 1964. Yeah. I just did recently. I started to watch it a couple weeks ago and I didn't finish it, right? And then I went back and I finished it. And there's a great line in there where Vincent Price, you know, plays this scientist who's, you know, of course he's working on disease and virus and so forth. But he says at a certain point in the movie where he's kind of having a little bit of an argument or a difference with one of the other scientists, he says, "I don't believe in the idea of universal disease." And when he said that line in the movie, it just hit me. But just overall, again, for a timely movie made in 1964, just good old, you know, black and white 60s sci-fi, go watch The Last Man on Earth, and you will just see so many things in parallel to what's going on today. So, yeah, there's a lot of operations going on. There's multiple layers to the onion. The discussion about the viruses is interesting to me. I don't believe we know everything, and I don't think we can know everything. I don't really think we're meant to. I've often said, and I'm not shy of saying it, if I was to become dictator, among the many things I would do is I would completely wipe out and shut down all medical research labs for probably 20 years.
Absolutely.
Let's just see what happens. Let's just see how we can proceed with God and nature and eating well and living well and us taking care of each other without these doctors and hospitals and so-called medical research labs with their latest drugs. I am so sick of this. I will mention briefly also, if you want to read and hear and listen to some very interesting stuff on this, go to Robert O. Young's website and blog post. And he's showed films. He's actually got his own clips, and he's also showed some of Raymond Royal Rife's original footage where you can actually see one thing become another. Raymond Rife said that these things are pleomorphic. Other people have also said the same thing, pleomorphic meaning they take many forms. And I was astounded many, many months ago when I watched, unless it's some kind of photographic trickery that I'm looking at, and I don't know why they would do it, you can see one organism literally morph into another. So the beauty and wonder of nature or God's creation is something that, in my opinion, we're not supposed to mess with. And what these lying, deceiving, goblin Jews want us to be afraid of, they want us to be afraid of things that we don't know about, we can't see, and we can't perceive, and they want us to be afraid of each other, and they want us to think that they, the scientists, hopefully that we won't identify them as Jews, but they, the scientists, have the answer, and we need to listen to them. Jim has made the statement on this show and many other shows about this study that showed that people that have vaccine hesitancy are highly informed and scientifically literate and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if I fit any of those. But to me, what I don't get about my fellow Americans is how they can't see the disgusting, slimy, swarmy nature, swarmy, schmarmy, just disgusting, you know, Fauci and Joe Biden and Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, how you cannot see these people for what they are. I don't get it. I mean, I'm a college dropout, and I can see. I wouldn't trust anything they say.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But, Paul, you have an active mind. You take the time. You know how to do research. You know how to use the internet. That's untrue with most Americans. They get their news in bites. ABC, CNN, if they say the same thing, they assume it must be true. They're working so hard just to keep a roof over their head, food on the table. They don't know how to do research, and they're very gullible and amenable to propaganda, alas, which is a large part of the reason why we're in the present state of so many buying the coronavirus hoax and being willing to take the jab, even though the most serious students, such as Sherry Tenpenny, have warned us the mRNA vaccines of Pfizer and Moderna are perfectly designed killing machines. And Luc Montagnier, a Nobel Prize-winning virologist, has predicted that everyone who gets a jab is going to be dead within 5 years. That's pretty serious stuff. But because most Americans just aren't equipped, and they aren't motivated, and they don't have the ability. Your point is impeccable about the vast ignorance and how it could be overcome. But if you don't have the ability or the motivation, if you tend to accept what you're being told from the authorities, and you naively assume they're acting in your best interest, and you find yourself in a predicament. Monica.
We need to talk about 5G. Like, there's a reason why they, when they shut down, when locked down everybody first, they were in schools, in the hospitals, they were putting up these, they were refurbishing the air conditioning systems, they were installing 5G antennas or receptors or whatever it is. There's a big, big topic, and this is what is gonna, like, they can turn that on or ramp it up, whatever. I don't know, it's all very secretive what's going on with 5G, but it is a thing, it is for real. And this is a big factor in what's coming down and what's happening already, I think. And of course, go ahead.
I said, Monica, are you familiar with Arthur Furstenberg's work, The Invisible Rainbow? And have you seen him interviewed or heard his radio interviews?
I am somewhat familiar with him, but I haven't delved deeply into it. But yeah, that's something that
I'll send Jim a link and he can send it to you. But I just listened to an hour long radio interview with him. But yes, you're exactly correct on this.
I also have the book. I just haven't read it yet. I have a lot of books that I want to read and haven't had time to read yet.
No. But
something else they're doing with these shots, and I...
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The party you have dialed is on the phone.
Hello?
After you have finished, press the pound key for more options, or simply hang up.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
To mark this message as urgent, press 6.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. You have two other callers standing by, but I want Paul to have the opportunity for some follow-up. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I was just going to say that, you know, the whole thing about viruses can be very confusing, and I get it, and I don't claim to know everything. But I do take a little bit of issue with what you just told me, Jim, about the fact that, well, myself or people like me have the ability to do, you know, research and to think and so forth. Okay, that might be true. But at the same time, you know, I think we all have what we call our antenna, you know. Many people, it's probably dumbed down a little bit. But again, you know, the point that I was making about these people that you see on TV constantly pimped to us all the time, and just the idea that they're offering people a free hamburger, an ice cream cone if you get a vaccine. Or in California, they had this like giveaway or lottery drawing where you could win $50,000. It's like, good God, what would it take for people to understand that this has got to be something that's like sketchy? At the very least, just to use a urban slang, it's extremely sketchy. And again, I've asked so many people in the last year or so, do you really believe that they care about our health? You know, it's just a way that I have to maybe reach somebody because I only have a few minutes interaction. And I haven't met one person that said they do. So it's kind of like, you know, part of me is like, you know, where is the normal human perception that we all should have? It's just a little frustrating. So that's all I was expressing. And just real quick before you move on, I did want to say, I believe it was Monica that went on this little rant right before the top of the hour about how what these Jews do is to create all these issues and all these problems and then blame us, the victims of what they create. And I thought it was just brilliant, 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 just like a 7 or 8 minute little rant that just expresses in a nutshell what is exactly going on. And it's the kind of thing I've been trying to say to people for, years before I started calling this show. So I wanted to say thank you for that. That was very well done, if it was you, Monica.
It was.
Yeah. Well, Paul, you have a very strong mind and you're quite resistant to disinformation and propaganda. Television is the greatest brainwashing machine ever invented by the hand of man. You go up there now, you turn on virtual aid channel, it's nonstop 24, coronavirus, coronavirus, get the vax, get the vax. If you're not vaxxed, you're running, you know, you're an enemy of public health. You're doing the wrong thing, attempting to shame, giving all these absurd benefits. You're absolutely right. Get a vax and receive a donut. How absurd. You're putting your very life at risk. These mRNA vaccines change your DNA. They destroy your immune system. I'm very sorry to say that those who are most pessimistic about the consequences of taking the vax appear to have it exactly right. Mm-hmm. We have two other callers standing by. First, Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, give us your thoughts.
Hi, Jim Fetzer and Diane and Jim Rizzoli. Also, hi to Monica, Giuseppe, and Paul from California. So, Monica, I looked at your website because you had mentioned on another podcast that you had put Alfred, your brother's address there in prison. And because for us to, you know, I wanted to write him a letter just to say hi, hello, you know, in his, I think it's 23 hours loneliness. In a box, right? But I couldn't actually find it. And I don't know if you are allowed to say it over the air or is there some place I can look?
Yeah, okay. So the freespeechmonica.com and Monica spelt with a K. And then when you look across the top, there are those tabs for different pages on the website and it says support Alfred Schaefer. There. And okay. If you click on that tab, you will find his address right away. So
okay.
I hope that helps.
Great. Yeah, it definitely I will look there. And also I was worried about you guys. You are talking right now, but what words do you have to avoid, you know, for automatic prison? I mean, are you all in Canada and would you be safer if all people, you know, like us, publicly knew which town you lived in, so that, you know, the corrupt, powerful humans, then they won't be able to harm you in secret. Or, you know, you mentioned your old little village of Jasper, but is it a good idea for you and all three of you whistleblowers to... mention publicly where you live or not, or how do we write to you, post office box, etc. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things that I see is that we actually, I hate to use this medical word, but we immunize ourselves. We make ourselves safer, I think, mm-hmm. by being public mm-hmm. and talking to the public, because if something should happen, and I've said it out loud, I said, hey, if I've suddenly committed suicide or something, I didn't do it to myself, right? And I'm very public. And I know that when I went public with just that Sorry Mom video, suddenly I was hearing from people from all around the world and also from nearby villages and towns all over the place. And I came to the conclusion that there are many people everywhere, in every hamlet, village, community, everywhere that know the truth, but most people don't come out publicly like we have, all of us on this show and many, many others have. We show our faces. It does give us a degree of protection because then it's like if something should happen to us, people will know right away, that's how I see it. And Alfred mm-hmm. also sees it that way. He has mm-hmm. always said, I'm going to tell all my neighbors and all my friends the truth about what's going on. That way I'm immunizing myself against dangers. Also, if they come to understand the truth about things, then they will be my friends, not my enemies. Now, it doesn't mm-hmm. always work out that way because not everybody is willing to accept the truth. But that's my take on it. And, I'm actually not too worried about telling where I live. I live in British Columbia. I'm not in Jasper anymore. But anyway, we can leave that at that for now.
Scaredy, if you could stand by, I want you to stay on as well as Paul. We have Murr from the chat room here. Murr, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Oh, greetings, sweeties. You all look so fine. Thank you, Jim and Giuseppe, for having Monica and Diane King and Jim Rizzoli. You two aren't married, are you?
Undocumented.
Okay, cool. Common law. Way to go. Yeah. You know, I've been saying from the beginning of this, and I know Giuseppe doesn't like it, but Tom Rogers knows, and he has a lot of information on this, but I just know it, too, from my research. Viri are debris, nothing more. Yes, bacteria and fungus. Bacteria can be in a fat foment and be carried. Viri can't survive being out of the body.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the other things I've been saying since the beginning of this was positive is not active. This is another trick, another spell they're casting, and they are casting spells. COVID is divok, a Hebrew spell that means possessed by an evil spirit. Okay. And the other thing is we only have individual innate and acquired immunity. There's no herd immunity. This is another fear tactic.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And Furstenberg and the others like him, what do they leave out? Like everyone else leaves out. They say, oh, well, maybe it was a comet coming close by that caused the bubonic plague and the Black Death. No, that was Jews poisoning the water all over Europe.
Yep.
Wow.
Except in Poland where they were, and they'd been caught at the head of streams with bags of poison and, of course, wells, and some towns would go sick and die all overnight because the concentration was so strong. And they were held accountable in 1348. Okay? And so you'll see all through the centuries that 48 is a landmark for them. This is they never have enough. They never can get even, okay? Never forgive, never forget. But this is how they're taught and raised, most of them. Maybe not all of them, but this is what they are better than us. They deserve everything, and they don't create. To create would be to benefit others. They mutate. They steal and mutate. Not to be too harsh.
Stephanie, would you like to comment?
Oh, I'm Murr's an expert researcher, and I respect her opinion. I just think that I agree with most of what she said. I just think the flaw in the logic of Tom Rogers and others, Amanda Vollmer, is they just think that virus have only one function. I mean, I look to a brilliant guy named Dr. Zach Bush, who has said the three fundamental building blocks are bacteria, fungi, and viruses, because viruses are obligate parasites. They can be used to carry, you know, literally messenger RNA and all types of things. They have a use beyond just as a waste disposal mechanism. I think that's where I deviate, but I don't pretend to have all the answers. And I really think it's great that people with bright minds like Murr and Paul are you know, challenging the dogmatic belief, which I believe is absolutely wrong. I think the one science we need to apply to all this nonsense, Jewish-driven nonsense, is forensic science, right? So if this vaccine was safe and effective, why is it killing tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands, soon to be millions of people? That is not safe and effective. I'd like to get one thought on everybody, including the callers, which is the latest Jewish scam inversion to critical race theory and blame the stable, decent white European for all the woes of this country and the world. When you look at critical race theory, all you have to do is take out, you know, like in Word, Microsoft Word, do a global substitution, take out the word white and put in the word Jew, and then critical race theory totally makes sense.
Amen.
Paul, back in. Paul, your further thoughts.
Believe it or not, I'll defer to somebody else at the moment. How's that?
I don't believe it. Scaredy. Oh, Diane. Yeah, go ahead, Diane.
Interestingly, the mainstream media has done a huge favor for us because they cannot tell the truth. So they become the standard of what a lie is. When a person says, well, how do you know what the truth is? You say, well, what's the mainstream media pushing? That it's the opposite. And so whatever's researched is the opposite of what the mainstream media. So they've done us a favor in basically combating cognitive dissonance. I'd like to just lend that this, somebody had posted this at one point. There are two kinds of people. One, the first kind of person believes the government, the medical profession, the pharmaceutical companies, and all the people in charge care about us. The second group of people think.
Scaredy cat, scaredy, join back with further thoughts of yours.
Yeah, two things. Well, kind of related. Everything's related in the end. So to answer Giuseppe, critical race theory, CRT, I've made this joke before, it's a figment of filthy imaginations. It doesn't exist. So this reality, so that's unreal. So the actual reality of CRT is cathode ray tube, and that's the only thing you need to know about CRT. It's a physical engineered mechanism in the TV to drive light rays onto the little pixels to make a picture on the TV. So that's how we have to. I'm joking, but of course, you know, there are no real jokes. It's only what's really funny is actually has a foundation of absolute truth and reality. So that's how we proceed in this war. And I think, you know, people were saying even back a month ago or some weeks ago, oh, the war is coming, bad things are coming. But no, the war is here. And in fact, we might even think of ourselves as lost, like Alfred Schaefer, Monica's brother, he's already a prisoner of war. And all of us are, when we think about it, our president, our government, our TV, none of it we can get to. It's a foreign occupied enemy in all the 200 countries of the planet. People don't have their countries anymore, so they've lost the war. So in a sense, let's think of ourselves as sort of low security prisoners of war, and let's get the, you know, shanks and clippers and scissors and spoons, and let's start scrabble around, claw our way really, really intently to throw off the evil wardens.
Monica?
Oh, yeah, you've made some excellent points, and I want to just take off with the fact that we are at war.
Yes.
And that's something that most people don't understand, because they think of war as, you know, the bombs and actual firepower going off. But we are in a war, the most epic war that can even be imagined, and they are attacking us on all fronts. The critical race theory, Giuseppe, that you were asking us to comment on, you know, when this term first started getting bandied about, I tried to learn what is that.
Yeah.
And what is it? Well, my conclusions are, is you could sum it up in two words: bad whitey. Bad whitey.
Right.
That's it. I mean, it's everything is our fault, and this is the guilt that, again, this goes back to the rant.
I have a better take on it. I think
they project their guilt onto us, and that we are guilty of all those things that they are actually doing to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the critical. But I want to say one more thing about Alfred too. You know, he usually has a theme going out in his letters, and so he'll create memes, he'll draw pictures and stuff. And lately, the meme that he puts out, and this is a really good one, is the snake. And the snake is eating its own tail, so it's in a circle, and the jaw is on the tail eating it. And there's little things attached to the belly of the snake, and those are worms. And the worms are the Shabbat goy, or whatever, the useful idiots who are, you know, the Gentiles who are doing the devil's work for them, who then become the first to go. They're very dispensable. They are the most hated by the Jews, because they are actually traitors, and, you know, traitors to their own people, but they're doing the Jews' work. And they get eaten up as the snake eats itself. And that's starting to happen. The Jews are starting to eat themselves up. They are attacking each other. And that is apparently what has always happened in history. They start to eat themselves up as they're in their, they think they're in their, well, they're in their end game, and they're just pulling out all the stops, going as fast as they can to get done before we all wake up and rise up and, yeah. and stop it from happening. But so the snake is eating itself up, and the worms that are stuck to the belly are getting eaten up with it. So yeah, anyway.
Myrrh, would you like to add a further thought?
Yes, thank you. There is only white Jewish supremacy. Look how they treat the ones that are black and Jewish or any other mixed race because they can't keep their pants on, face it, okay? But I'd also like to say, withdraw participation as much as you can, as soon as you can. It will be different for each of us. This is how you fight an asymmetrical spiritual warfare.
Well, mind you, it appears to me Jews regard themselves as a race apart from whites. Now, you can talk about blacks, whites, Jews, Asians, and so forth. All there's research showing the relative ranking of IQ, and it is the case. Jews tend to rank the highest, Asian Americans next, whites next, blacks last. There's a vast objective study. The Democrats seem to think this is all because of socioeconomic differences, but it is not. We're talking about all kinds of qualification for all the other variables that could make a difference. These appear to be innate genetic differences. I've argued that blacks can improve themselves through the mechanisms of evolution over time, but the Democrats seem to think it's all an illusion and that the greater propensity for blacks committing crimes, which is vastly disproportionate to their number in the population, is because of discrimination against blacks, which is about as nonsensical as it gets. And of course, they're adopting all kinds of anti-white discrimination policies, which are clear violations of laws that part of discrimination initially against blacks, but today also against whites, which appears to be their agenda. It's just shocking, really distressing. Paul,
thoughts
now. You're welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I would want to jump in because of the recent topic that has come up. So, yeah, one of the things that they're doing, obviously, is the critical race theory and just the latest nonsense in the last 40 to 50 years is to undermine in the minds of the average pathetic, weak, deracinated white person that we have an exclusive right to exist in our own territory and to govern ourselves, and that the products of our prosperity are somebody else's. In other words, that we're entitled, that other races are entitled to our wealth. And of course, this is completely the opposite of what these groups would have for themselves and what the Jews would have for themselves. So I'm going to just read a paragraph, which I think he says it best. I've modified it slightly, but one of the best minds online, in my opinion, is Kevin Alfred Strom, who runs National Vanguard of the National Alliance. And this is from a lengthy article, which I highly recommend. The title of the article right now up at National Vanguard is called Quit Pretending. I love the title, Quit Pretending. So here's the paragraph I want to read. White people have an absolute non-negotiable right to exist. They have a right to organize and govern themselves and to have their own exclusive territories for their own nations and their own peoples, and to be entitled to keep the wealth that they produce and the products of their labor for themselves and their posterity. Only by taking this stand and backing it up can we have a chance to provide for the future of our people. And only by stopping the pretenses and halting the retreat that we've engaged upon can we be considered worthy of our descendants and our ancestors. And there's a lot more that he says than that, okay? But I can't really say anything more.
Since we're nearing the conclusion of our conversation, I'd like to ask each of our guests for their final thoughts. Diane, beginning with you.
Jim and I maintain that the largest number one hoax of two centuries, at least, is the Holocaust. It's the number one false flag from which all other false flags and issued spring. We have a hub that actually depicts that picture. And as far as contacting us, it's Mr. Tapman, that's MRTAPMAN, like Mr. Tap, Tapman at gmail.com. And you can be put on our email list, and RizzoliTV, I believe.com is also a website.
Excellent. Jim, your final thoughts?
Well, it all comes down to this. This is a spiritual war, okay? It's between Christians and Jews, and that's all it's what it's about. And the problem is the whites, okay, the white people are too divided up with the with the too many different Christian religious belief systems, and they're fighting all amongst themselves as the Jews are coming in for the kill.
That's true.
And that's what our problem is, okay? And if you don't look at Ephesians 6:12 as we're fighting the municipalities of Satan, and the Jews are the main source, and the Christians out there are just sitting there with their thumbs up, you know where. And they just don't know what's going on. And this is what's happening. And I don't have too much hope unless you really look to God and understand that he's the only one that can deliver us, because man is not going to deliver us from any of this mess.
Thank you, Jim. Monica, your final thought.
It ain't over till it's over, Jim. We can't lose hope. And the other thing, I mean, I'm better at preaching than practicing this one, is to shed our fear, because fear brings us down and brings our, and I agree that it is an epic struggle. It's a spiritual struggle, but I would say it's between good and evil. And you connect all the dots and it always leads back to the Jews, who are basically representing Satan. But we just have to connect with individuals. We cannot rely on government or any kind of a system like that, because the system, they are our enemy, because the Jews are in every level of every government and they have control of all these organizations. So we have to organize with each other on a community level, on a neighborhood level, and it ain't over till it's over.
Thank you, Monica.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.